Well, coming up on today's show, VW could face a recall of more cars over emissions in Germany. Nissan's e-Power does very well in the sales stakes, but should it even be called an EV? And Riderpart has more details on the legendary Harley-Davidson's first electric bike, the Live Wire. Those stories and more, plus your answers to question of the week and a brand new question for you to answer. So good morning, good afternoon and good evening. In fact, wherever you are in the world, welcome to EV News Daily. It's Sunday, 13th of January. My name is Martin Lee. I've been through every EV story I can find today and picked out the ones I think you need to know about. Well, thank you very much to MyEV.com for helping make this show. They are the world's first marketplace, all about buying and selling only EVs and, of course, learning about them as well. Spent the last 2 days in Birmingham, which is in the middle of the UK, if you're not quite sure. And yes, we would say Birmingham, not Birmingham. And it was nice to be at the show and to be walking around and see some nice big logos for MyEVs.com, MyEV.com, also Inside EVs as well. So it was nice to be at the show and see those names that I recognise to do with electric cars. Shame there weren't more electric cars there. But never mind, there's always next year. And it was nice to have a good old nose around the Jaguar I-Pace e-Trophy car. It is a pretty standard I-Pace under the skin with the battery and the drivetrain. Inside, of course, roll cage cut off. Everything is inside stripped out. So I was having a proper old geek out, as I love both electric cars and cars that go very quickly. And it was good to see the Formula E Generation 2 Batman car. I've seen it a load of times now, actually, and I never, ever, ever tire of just standing and looking at how beautiful it is and how much smaller it always is. And I always kind of forget that. So if you get a chance to head along next year to the show, which is called Autosport International, it was my first time there in many years, actually. And boy, has it grown. It's been a great couple of days, actually. Very super busy. A ton of miles for me to do in the weekend Tesla. But I'll tell you all about that tomorrow when I've got to give it back. Well, let's start with this story about VW. Germany's Federal Motor Transit Authority, the KBA, is considering recalling more Volkswagen cars due to its emissions scandal, the Bild am Sonntag newspaper reported today. This was an article picked up on Autoblog. The KBA has opened an investigation into whether a software update for 1.2-litre engine cars, like the very popular Polo, enabled them to cheat emissions tests, the newspaper said, without naming its sources. The Bild am Sonntag said prosecutors were preparing charges against unnamed Volkswagen managers for suspected fraud, noting the company had given assurances in 2016 that the 1.2-litre engines did not use illegal emissions cheating devices. No word yet from VW. Strong allegations made there, and importantly, no charges pressed either. So this is just a newspaper article saying that their sources tell them there's more to come. I would imagine that VW somewhere, I've checked out the press site, I can't find anything, there would be a strong denial coming over this, and of course, always innocent until proven guilty in this particular case, even though they have had many previous times of being naughty. Let's try not to mention those too much on the podcast. So we'll follow that story and see where it goes. I'm sure that there is no appetite at VW for fighting even more of these kind of headlines, as well as they just want to wipe the slate clean and move forward with electric cars. But people do have very long memories, as people who email this podcast always like to remind me. They sometimes think I give those that have been caught for being naughty an easy ride on the podcast, and I don't put the boot in, as you would say, enough. Well, okay. Moving on to Nissan, and the e-Power Nissan has been a huge success. Nissan celebrates a tremendous achievement of selling over 136,000 Nissan Note cars in Japan last year. Put the model top of all models, says MarketInsideEVs.com. Not normally bothering to talk about general sales figures on Inside EVs, but both Nissans, actually, that are doing really well, the Note, which is little, and the Serena, which is like a people carrier, offered conventional cars, but also a series hybrid, and a series hybrid which is called e-Power. E-Power has no plug, even though it's an electric car. As it turns out, 70% of all Note sales last year were the Note e-Power. That's over 95,000 cars last year had e-Power, and since the introduction of the cars over 2 years ago, they sold over 200,000 of them as well. But here's my question, should it even be called an EV? Because it won't move forwards and backwards until you put dinosaurs inside it. There is no plug. So it's a series hybrid. It has an engine, which is a generator. There is a small battery. I should look this up. I think it's 1 or 2 kilowatt hours. Tiny little tiddler of a battery. And then the wheels are, yeah, they're moved by electric power. But you can't put electric, green, clean electric power into it. You are always destroying the planet every time you turn the key. And so, should it be called an EV? I don't know. Well, no, I do. I don't think it should be. I don't think it should. But I don't know if there's a consensus with my opinion. So what do you know? What do you think? Am I right? Am I wrong? Do you agree? Do you disagree? Let me know in the comments. Or you can always email the show. Well, rideapart.com is the website which deals with everything two wheels. If you like your bikes, been talking about the new Harley Davidson Live Wire electric bike. The bike is built on a lightweight aluminium chassis and the exposed frame. It's got a floating upward tail and a naked silhouette, a really stark contrast from what you would think in your mind's eye of a Harley Davidson, exactly what the company's aiming for and what it hopes to do to kindle a younger audience's curiosity. Now, the electric powertrain is set really low within the frame. It sends the weight towards the ground. Very low centre of gravity, of course. The new feature, which is alien to any previous Harley Davidson, is twist and go. Yeah, there's no gears. It's electric. The live wire has no clutch, no gear selector. All you've got to do, push a button, turn it on, and you won't know it's turned on because there's no noise, obviously, and you twist and go. I mean, goodness me, it's a quick bike. Now, I used to, I had a couple of bikes. I never raced them competitively. You were sort of kind of off-road on dirt tracks, though. But I was never, you know, I was never kind of in the heat and battle of sort of proper racing. But I did have a, what was it? Was it 50cc when I was growing up? Maybe it's a little bit more, but it's a powerful bike. But, you know, I absolutely love to be on two wheels. I don't these days because my wife doesn't put her foot down on many things. In fact, if anything, I can think. But the one thing she always says is, you're never having a motorbike, by the way. And I go, but, you're never having a motorbike. So if it's one compromise I make for a happy marriage, it'll be that. However, this is brutally fast. 3.5 seconds, 0 to 60. Holy 3.5 seconds will rip your face off. And if you're doing it on two wheels, if you've got some good balance, that'll lift a front wheel, won't it? Yes, it will charge on level 1, level 2, even level 3 rapid charging. And you will be charging it because it's got a range of 59 miles. Why is the range so small? It's a bike, it's I'd say lightweight, but I guess, you know, in bike terms, probably heavier because of the battery and the motor. But 59 miles? You know, every Harley rider would have a great time on it, but they're going to read the articles on places like rideapart.com, and it's going to say 59 miles. And it's like when they used to sell cars that would do 50 or 75 or 100 miles and pretend to be something they're not. You know, we've got a short-range EV, by the way, and it only pretends to be a city car. But oh, man, I know so many bike readers are going to read that and go, oh, 59 miles, I can't go cross-country like a Harley rider would. And when a bike is that good, you want to ride it, yeah? You want to get on it and just go for a couple of hours, head into the mountains or go to the beach or something. As for pricing, the tag is a whisker under $30,000, and you can get it in three colours for your 30 grand. Well, electric car sales are set to rise dramatically is the predictable headline. Electric car sales going up in 2019 as rapid growth in the sector is expected to continue. There's a new EV website here in the UK, which I must admit, this is my fault. I checked it out on the day it launched and thought, eh, it's okay. I mean, I wouldn't have launched it in that state. It was a bit light, a bit thin on the ground. Saying that, I've never launched an EV website, so well done to them for launching it. I thought it was kind of okay at best for day one, and I've never gone back to it. It's called Driving Electric, and they've done an article today about how long it's going to take to get your car. Drivers who are considering taking the plunge, they say, should strike now before bottlenecks take hold. And I would respectfully disagree with them. The bottlenecks are here. They took hold a long time ago. They've made themselves at home. They've got the feet up on the sofa, and they've been around longer than the family pet. The bottlenecks are here. Driving Electric website. The research says it usually takes around 10 to 12 weeks for a new car to be delivered, but lead times for EVs, they say, can be up to 6 months. Yeah, if you want a Hyundai Kona in this country, it currently says 42 weeks to get one. Now, the website found that Hyundai claims to have no lead time between order and delivery for the hybrid Ioniq hatchback, but if you want the plug-in or the full electric, you wait 4 months. So perhaps the least predictable article they could have written, maybe it was a slow news day, if you want an EV, you'll be waiting a while for one. And what I would disagree with that article as well is I would say that there are cases that you can get one straight away if you want to lease a car. And no, I don't lease cars, but if you were to go down that route, then you could get one quicker. And of course, if you wanted a Tesla on the final day of the quarter and you walked into a service centre with some notes in your hand and said, "Can I have one, please?" I'm pretty sure they'd find you a car if it was going towards the quarterly numbers for any of the models. So I'll put a link to the article in the show notes if you're interested. Mercedes-Benz are next in the news today. Oh, to have the life of an electric car reviewer. One day, maybe. InsideEVs.com have been cruising down the strip in Las Vegas in the Mercedes-Benz EQC 400. It's very possible to completely forget you're in an electric car, they say. The lights, the music, the slow crawl of the Vegas strip can remove some of the most enjoyable features of driving electric, that being the instant torque of the electric motor and the quietness of the cabin as well. Well, Tom Maloney was the lucky one going for a ride along in the desert. The EQC, he says, is not on a dedicated platform. It shares many components with the C-Class and the GLC. It's going to be manufactured on the same line, actually, as those two models at Daimler's plant in Bremen, which is Germany. As for range, Mercedes have been quoting 400 kilometres. That is based on the European test cycle, which is called WLTP. And they've been driving the EQC for a while now, and it seems like the real-world range they're comfortable talking about is somewhere around 220 miles, which is, if that's properly real-world, that's not bad, actually, for a big, heavy SUV. It's equipped with a 32-amp onboard charger. That's not the fastest in the world, but it's okay. Good for AC charging at 7.4 kilowatts. The car's obviously going to come with 120 volts. Plug-in, what we would call a granny cable, EVSE in the US, 120 volt. Anywhere else where you have got 240 volts, for instance, I'm sure you get that with the car. Not all EVs come with them, they probably should. And Mercedes will offer level 2 charging options for purchase. As for DC fast charging, the EQC can take 110 kilowatts, allowing the vehicle to go 10 to 80% in about 40 minutes. Now, the EQC has an 80 kilowatt hour battery, not the biggest. Again, they've gone some very sensible specs for 2019. We found out during their drive, they say, that that's usable. They quote 80 kilowatts, that's usable capacity, and not the total. The pack, the power electronics, and the drive motors are all liquid-cooled. Yes, thermal management's been a big deal for Mercedes, and the vehicle has a heat pump as well, which you don't find on every EV, but a very nice addition to have. You've got to pay extra on some EVs to get that. The charge speed of 110 kilowatts is quick today. I'm kind of worried that, well, the car will be in production this year. It'll be on sale in 2020. And although 110 kilowatts is still very, very fast, then it's competition. You know, the e-tron is going to have 150 kilowatts charging. They say that a software update coming to the Jaguar I-Pace is going to enable faster charging as well. So, you know, that's a difficult one. 110 and 150 are not wildly different charge speeds unless you're engaging in a bit of locker room, my one's bigger than your one bragging. But I found over the last couple of days, I've done maybe 400 or 500 miles over the weekend, actually, which probably explains why I'm feeling so shattered at the moment, heading all around the UK. And when I think the fastest I got was 102, 105 kilowatt charge speed. And, you know, I pulled in, I got myself a coffee, had a comfort break, got back to the car, unplugged at the supercharger, and whatever was in the car, because I was driving a Model S 90D, was more than adequate to get to my next rest stop. It added a ton of mileage, and it had tapered down pretty quickly, but I, you know, 110, 150, I don't have a strong opinion on 110 being too slow. I know some of those articles are saying, actually, that's way too slow. It should be better. Anyway, let's stop analysing charge speeds for those who are new to the podcast and think we do this all the time. I geek out sometimes, not too much. Right, let's move on to our question of the week. Thank you very much to everyone who took part in question of the week this week. Got some cracking answers, and I've got way too many that I can go through. So, if my tiny brain can remember who I read out last week, I'll try and always make sure that I read out new comments this week, and then maybe next week I'll read out the people who I didn't get to this week, if that makes sense. Let's kick off with Neil. Neil Roberts from Sussex EVs. Thank you very much for letting me know your thoughts on the question of the week. Oh, which I should remind you, by the way, question of the week this week was if somebody comes up to you to say, maybe you're plugging in your EV, or people know that you listen to the podcast or YouTube channels, a friend or family member say, why should I get, what's the one thing about EVs? He says the one thing he always says to people is running costs, fuel cost savings. He used to pay £120 a month to do 1,000 miles. Now he pays 20. That £100, rather than going to the exchequer, the government, is now going to the car. He does also say performance is a big one. I did ask you if it's possible to try and just tell me the one thing, and then everybody didn't. They told me like five things. That's probably a nice problem to have, though. Hello to Serverless Billy Power One Electrical Contracting. I was originally the owner of a 2011 Nissan Leaf, which I had for 2 years. I traded up, and I am now the proud owner of a Model S. Ah, any owner of a Model S is a proud owner of a Tesla. The one question I always get when people walk over to me, especially now, he says, in the Tesla, he gets more people coming over now, is how far can you go? So the very first thing I tell them, it's no different from running out of gas. The other thing he asks is, what happens if you run out of charge? He says, what if you run out of gas? There's so many chargers everywhere on every highway, like there's gas stations everywhere. He shows them the map of the Tesla supercharger network, and they're usually surprised. Certainly friends and family that I've told about, and I've given a couple of people this weekend who were EV curious, a ride out in the Model S, and both of them were utterly astonished that some people are locked into legacy-free supercharging for life. They couldn't get their head around it. They said, well, hang on, you've spent no money. You've gone to places like Birmingham and Nottingham, and you've been all over the country in the last 2 or 3 days. What have you spent? I said, well, nothing. I've spent no money at all. I mean, it kind of blows their mind a little bit. Now, that isn't, I know, all EVs, and it's not even all Tesla owners now, because those offers aren't around anymore, but it's still something that blows their mind. Hello to Stefan. Thank you very much for emailing me in the week. Two examples of what he says. My office manager, I lent him my car to go to lunch, and his response was, it drives just like a car. Yes, because it is a car. It's not a toy. And my father asked me how long it takes to drive to charge the car, and I always tell him 5 seconds to plug it in, and when I get back in it, it's fully charged in the morning. Leanne, oh, we've covered off Neil. Let's cover off Leanne Roberts. She says, if a member of the public comes up to me and asks about the best thing about an EV, I'll talk about the driving experience compared to a dinosaur burner. Hello to Jack. Jack Oakley says the one thing that he always gets that you should say to a fossil driver is it's an amazing driving experience, and to be prepared, you'll look for reasons to drive your EV. You never want to drive another ICE car again. That's so true, actually. Whenever I have to get back into a fossil car, it is just amazing how it feels like 100-year-old technology. I'm making something go pop and bang in the engine and forcing bits of metal up and down, and you're like, that kind of seems like old technology to be moving me from A to B. David says, g'day from Brisbane, Martin. G'day, mate. David Nye from Brisbane says, what's the one thing I would say to an ICE driver? And then he lists about five. Forget that it's more convenient. Forget that it's cheaper to run. Forget that it needs a fraction of the maintenance. The one big thing is it's so much nicer to drive. Instant torque, instant power, and total silence. I agree with you. Well, I would say total silence, but whenever my wife drives the Zoe, she never turns off the weird spaceship pedestrian noise, even if we're in an area with no pedestrians. She says, oh, leave it on, it's fine. And yet I can hear it. It really bugs me. But again, you know, for a harmonious marriage, you pick and choose your battles, don't you? Hello to Tim. Tim Benford is a Brit from Solihull. He says, now the EV ambassador for Drive Electric Ohio. He says, I would say to a person asking about EVs, after you are thrilled by the torque and acceleration, don't be surprised by the efficiency of your battery and the regen braking. If it's affected negatively by cold weather and positively in warm weather, don't worry about the cold. There are so many tricks you can use to extend your range. Darren Sant is a new executive producer of the podcast. All right, Dazza, thank you very much for your comment this week, Darren. You can email hello@evnewsdaily.com. He says the running costs are the things that he would point out. People are unaware how low the running costs are when I'm charging for free. Andrew Jacobs, on the subject of what you should tell a fossil driver, says it's a smooth, quiet, powerful ride. And if you buy a second-hand one, you save a lot of money. Yeah, that's true, by the way. The used prices are pretty stable at the moment. In fact, in the last year, Nissan Leaf prices, used ones, went up 1%, which is unheard of on the used car market, unless you're buying classic Ferraris. Well, Sebastian Pawlowski says, my wife and I just took ownership of a Model 3 1 month ago. Many congratulations to both of you. I'm really happy for you. They say, we've named her Christine after the Stephen King book on account of the fact that the car parks itself in our garage with Summon. That is so cool. I was playing with Summon on the app today with our best friend's 11-year-old daughter, and she'd never seen it before. So I was like, watch this. And the car was driving itself across the car park, and her 11-year-old mind was blown. And she goes, this is my new favourite car ever. Brilliant. So thank you very much. P.S. My wife, Penarose, and I live in a Barrington suburb of Chicago, says Sebastian. We listen to your podcast daily and we love your positivity. Well, what's not to be positive about, my friend and my friends, when there's so much positive news in the world of EVs? Oh, you're in Chicago. Make sure you check out our very good friends on the podcast, Paul Hussey, our latest premium partner, and the team at electricmotoring.net. If you fancy a different Tesla, congratulations on your Model 3, but what about a weekend away in an X or something, a P100D? Oh, I'd love that. Check out electricmotoring.net. Here in the UK, we have a Twitter user who goes by the name of The Plug Seeker, very active in the community. He says, I always, when I'm plugging in a car, a member of the EV Curious Brigade walk up to him and ask questions. As he's an enthusiast of EVs, he always gives people the time. He says it has no engine, no exhaust, no fan belt, ignition or radiator, no oil or clutch. It's four wheels and a motor and one big battery. There's nothing to go wrong. It's all about low maintenance. Hello to Martin. Oh, two more comments, by the way. Hello to Martin Young, who says that I'm 51 years old. I recently purchased my first EV, a 2016 Chevy Volt. I live in Tennessee. There are not enough numbers of EVs around here. This car has inspired interest. And when someone asks me about it, I say, do you remember when you were a teenager and you first got your license and were actually excited to drive somewhere? Well, driving this car makes me feel the same way again, says Martin. I know what you mean. I find reasons to go places, and also I always offer to drive. So it's great. It's great having, you know, I love driving so much, and I always did. You know, I passed my test at 17, and I couldn't wait to go. I mean, I grew up in the countryside, so I may have been driving cars before legally allowed to, on private roads, I should add. So I'd got the technical bit of driving off pretty well by the time I came to take lessons. I needed to know what the signs were, and I was off, up and underway, 9 or 10 lessons, passed my test first time, and I got, while we're talking about this, only just scraped through on the test, by the way, inappropriate speed and approaching a junction too fast. Were my warnings, and almost failed on driving too fast. Got away with it though, dodged that one, and I've been happy driving ever since. But yeah, when you get an EV, you get you remind yourself of being 17 when you got your first license when you were 17. Hello to David Finch, who finishes off today. The main thing I would tell an EV curious person is not to worry about range and public charging, because most people charge at home. And when they say, how long does it charge? I always say 10 seconds, and they look at me and he goes, yeah, 10 seconds. To plug it in, then you forget about it. Well, thank you to everybody who pitched in with question of the week this week. I would invite you to take part in our next question of the week and let me know your thoughts, especially if you didn't do it this week. I'd love to know your thoughts, please. You can email or use the comments. Here's the question, set as always by myev.com. How much should EVs reinvent the car? And how much should EVs conform to what's expected? How much should EVs reinvent the car, and how much should they conform to what's expected? Let me know your thoughts. Have a think about that one. It's a good question, actually. Have a think about that. Email me hello@evnewsdaily.com, and you can use the comment section of YouTube or Facebook or myev.com if you want to do that. I know what you mean, actually. I got plenty of stories to tell about the weekend Tesla, by the way. But one of the things was how utterly technically brilliant it was, but in places too technical. There was a couple of things that I thought that is being clever for, because it can, because it's got a massive screen and, you know, it's just a big piece of software and hardware and battery. And there are a couple of things that I kind of thought, actually, that could be, that's too much. That would be easier. But I'll share those thoughts on another day. Thank you very much to 159 patrons of the podcast. Thank you for your generosity. You make this show, and you get to inform and hopefully entertain thousands of people around the world. And we are heading towards a very, very bright future, my friends, and you are doing it. Thank you if you're on Patreon and supporting the show. Patreon.com/EVNewsDaily, patreon.com/EVNewsDaily, if you want to see what it's all about. Our premium partners of the show, as always, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, that's EF.energy. I've mentioned already Paul and electricmotoring.net, and hello to Brad as well. Now, Brad Crosby is our most recent addition of being a premium partner. Hello to the partners of the show, David Allen, who normally emails. I couldn't find an email from David this week, so looking forward to hearing from him again soon. OEM Audio of New Zealand and evpower.co.nz, and Sasha Pallenberg as well. And hello to all of our exec producers, Alan Robson at Scottish EV Owner, Ashley Hill, Harold Gear Skalsveen, Bjard Fuchstack, Bob Muir of gingercomputers.com, Brian Weatherall, Brett Kingsford, Brian Young, Cesar Trujillo, Chris Benson, Chris Hopkins, Darren Bird, David Partington, David Prescott, Damian Davis, Darren Sant, Don McAllister, Don of ScreencastsOnline.com fame. If you've got a Mac product, check him out. Hello to Frederick Rovick, George Clargo, Jack Oakley, Jerry Allison, Ken Morris, Jason Fan, John Bailey, John H. Mayer III, John Timmis, Kevin Mayerson, Ken Morris, Lars Dallager, Louis Hopkin, Luke Cully, Marcel Lohman, Marcel Ward, Maz Shah, Martin Croft, Matthew Ellis, Matthew Gruby, Neil E. Roberts from Sussex EVs, Paul Stevenson, Paul Seeger-Smith, Pete Glass, Philippe Calvet, Raj Bedwell, Rene Schneider, Rod James, Rupert Mitchell, Sarah McCann, Scott Callahan, The Limousine Line in Sydney, and Zach Hurst. Well, there are 355 previous episodes of the show, which are available online for free, where you get your podcasts from. Subscribe on any platform, including YouTube, and get them first and free and automatically. And if in return you can leave a little review on any of those platforms, I'd love you. Thank you very much for checking out the socials over the weekend. Been a busy one. Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Search EV News Daily to find me. Have a wonderful day, and I'll catch you tomorrow.